Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am gratefully excited to be your host. Many call me Dr. Happy or Leah or whatever you call me, praise God. Just call me a child of God. But I will be your host for tonight, and I pray that you will be encouraged, that you will be educated, and that you will be empowered to learn something. Maybe not something that you haven't heard already, but definitely something that God has placed on our hearts for us to gather, study, learn from, and then make the necessary changes, and then praise God if necessary. Well, it is necessary to share it with someone else. So praise God and welcome, welcome, welcome. So again, I'm your host, and I am very excited that you've tuned in on this wonderful Monday evening. We have a lot in store for you on tonight. And so before we get started, I want to make sure that I thank all of the people that are on tonight. If this is your very first time, I want to welcome you to the show. Whoever invited you or showed you how to get here, tell them thank you, praise God. Well, at least if you learned something, amen, praise God. But I do want you to tell them thank you, and I thank you for tuning in. But praise God, we want to make sure that we all are doing what God has called us to do. And so again, if they invited you, I thank you for tuning in. Like I said, we try to make sure that we share something encouraging, to educate you in some type of way, and then for you to learn that information and then be bold enough to be empowered to share it with someone else. But those of you that have been with me, praise God, just a couple months, I'll be able to say 8 years, amen, in this vein, and you have been here with me, whether you've been with me for the 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months, however, praise God, the whole 8 years, I am grateful because you keep me encouraged, you keep me motivated, and you keep me doing what God has called me to do, and that is to teach his word. And so I thank you for your prayers and comments and all the things that you do. I also thank the Omega Ministry Group, and the main people are Tammy and Jesse Store. Praise God, without them, I wouldn't have known that this would have been an opportunity for me to share God's goodness on a bigger platform. I love teaching, and so I was happy with just the classroom, but praise God, they put me in this environment, and praise God, I haven't looked back, and so I'm grateful for their example. I'm grateful for their motivation and their support, and so I will always call them out. Now, our biggest praise and our biggest thanks has to go to God. I always start the broadcast with an upbeat song because, praise God, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. May not always be when we want it, but praise God, when he says yes, no one can say no. And so we always want to make sure that we are juiced up and ready to hear the word of God. And then I thank everyone for tuning in. And then we go to the Lord in prayer before we start our topic on tonight. And it's a good one. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, whether it was raining or sunny or shiny, Father, we were able to witness a glorious day, because we had an opportunity to do several things on today. Whether we accomplished everything we wanted to do or not, Father, we had the use of our minds and the use of our limbs to do what was necessary. And they may not move or flow the way we want them, praise God, but we have them. And so we just thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done, the things that you're doing, and the things that you will do in our futures. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to even know you, because that's a blessing, to even know who you are, to be able to understand the resources that you left for us to have a better and an intimate relationship with you. So we always want to thank you, Father, for the word, because without it, praise God, we wouldn't have the roadmap. We wouldn't know what to do or how to do it. But because we have the roadmap, we want to thank you that you give us the understanding that we need to show us where we should be reading, where we should be studying, and what areas in our lives that we need to apply to whatever we have read. And so we thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rules and reigns in our hearts, so that we can know when to stop, when to go, when to speak, when to be quiet, when to get up and pray, and when we can just be comfortable and lay in our beds and pray, Father. But we just thank you that the Holy Spirit knows even when we don't know what utters for us. So we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, we thank you for the most important thing, that Jesus came, sacrificed for us, and that he took all those lashes on our behalf, and he took sin upon him. He didn't sin, but he took all of our sins on him so that we can stand righteously before you and that we can be in your presence, praise God. And so we just thank you for all the things that you've done to make this possible for us to have an intimate relationship with you. And more importantly, Father, for us to have an understanding of what it is that you'd have for us to do and how to use the gifts and talents that you've given us so that we can be the soldiers that you created us to be. So, Father, I ask that you do whatever you need to do for me to make me become invisible so that you can become visible, so that my words and my thoughts and everything that I may say as few on this line will be a relative word for those that are listening, and let their hearts be open to receive and let it take root and grow in every direction that you desire. And so, Father, again, we thank you for being with us through this hour of power, and we pray, Father, that you will get all the glory and all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am excited to be able to share that it is my goal with the Holy Spirit's help, of course, to encourage you, to educate you, and to empower you with this lesson. And so over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the power and the beauty of having the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about authority. And then we talked about just the convenience of maturing in the things of God. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've been telling you I've been healing each week. And so this week I had the TV on, and I wasn't really paying attention because, scary enough, TV used to be part of my daily routine. I mean, when they talk about you shouldn't have for so many hours of TV, I'm way over the max because I love TV. I love finding things where I can learn about different people, different cultures. I love the news, and I love different things going on. But here lately, I've been really focusing on trying to really make sure that I'm in the presence of God. And so the TV has not even been sustaining thing for me. Sometimes I don't even turn it on because I'm so focused on asking God what I need to be doing, where I need to be, because I don't feel like my life is moving in the direction that I would like it to be, although he's training me and showing me that I am in the right thing. But praise God, you know, I want to see the bells and whistles. And God had to share with me that sometimes when we're going through training, it doesn't always feel good. And sometimes we have to be in a state where we can learn, because not all of us learn the same way. Some of us have to be kind of quiet. And some of us can learn, you know, with a whole lot of stuff going around us. And so for most of my life, I have been able to do that. I have been able to have, you know, all kinds of things going on, music, TV, everything going around me. And I can still process and learn. Well, here lately, God has been slowing me down and making me understand that I have to be quiet, that I have to sit before him, and that I have to really seek the direction that he has for me. And so in the midst of that, I do so many things. A girlfriend told me that she calls me 550, and she calls me 550 because I do at least 5 projects at one time, and I always do them to 110% or more, so she calls me 550. So I lasted there for a while. Praise God, because I probably have about 10 projects at one time. But anyway, I realized now that I can't do that. And so I had to slow down because my body is not moving in the same direction that it was moving at one time. And so I'm not able to do as much as I want to. And so it's a mind trip to some degree because I want to push myself to where I was. And God is telling me, no, I need for you to focus and I need for you to slow down, because I have some other assignments that I have for you that you're not going to be able to do all these things that you normally do. You're going to have to be focused on me and not focus on what your body and what your mind tells you you could do. You have to listen to me. And so in the midst of that, like I said, I had the TV on that particular day, and I had it on, I can't remember, it was one of those Christian stations, and it just amazes me how different ministers have different things and they share and they have different topics they talk. And one of the things, I don't really listen to Joyce Myers as much as I used to, but she was on and she was talking to somebody and they were talking about convenience versus conviction. And so I kind of heard what she was saying, but I really didn't pay attention because I really wasn't into it at the time. But those two words stuck out to me and I thought, Lord, what does that mean? Convenience and conviction. Now, I know years ago when I had the challenges with my eyes, I really believed that I had challenges with my eyes because I had done something, because it lasted too long. Normally, you know, when people have problems, they have issues a couple years, but it's 6 years is a long time. And so unlike Job, because I ain't never trying to compare myself to Job, praise God, because I ain't trying to go through all the stuff that Job went through. However, if I had to, I would try to do my best, but praise God, I don't ever want to be measured to Job. But praise God, in the last couple of weeks, it kind of feels that way. But anyway, back then, I thought, well, Lord, what have I done? Have I done something that, you know, has caused you to forsake me or to allow all this to come upon me? I mean, I'm not really used to all of this going on, but praise God, nevertheless. And so I can't remember where I was, because I was doing a lot of trying to find scriptures to help me or whatever in the midst of me not being able to complete this. I needed something. So, and one of the healing tapes that I was listening to, there was a scripture that I took to, and it was Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, at the time, I didn't quite understand what that meant, but I knew that the enemy was throwing a lot of stuff at me. And so I was condemning myself. Oh, I could have done this. I could have done that. I should have done this. I should have, you know, listened to the Lord earlier than I did. I should have given my life to Christ. I should have been more committed. And so all those things had me in this cycle that I was condemning myself. And when I read that scripture, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But the key is that many of us forget the second part, that we can't walk after the flesh. We have to walk after the spirit. And so when we walk after the flesh, then the enemy has an opportunity to jump through that window and make you feel like everything that you did that you know was outside of the will of God, to punish you and make you feel like, oh, I'm not in the right standings of God. And so, praise God, it takes you from feeling like you're in the righteousness of God, that you're in the bottomless pit, if you will. At least for me, it does. But one of the things, and we're going to focus a little bit on Romans 8, but I want to make sure that I explain a little bit what these words mean. Because I really believe that when you study a topic, you need to know the full understanding. So that's why I love definitions. And so when we're talking about conviction versus convenience, what the Lord laid on my heart to ask and to pose to you on today is, are you a convenient Christian or are you a conviction Christian? And so conviction still seems a little negative to me. But if we do the definitions, and I want to do convenient first, because, of course, convenient is always convenient. And so convenient is basically the state of being able to proceed with something with little effort or difficulty. Convenient procedures, products, and services are those intended to increase ease and accessibility and to save resources and decrease frustration. And so many of us have gone to this side of the world of convenience because, praise God, that's where we live. We live in this time where everything is simple. I remember my sister-in-laws used to really rock on me because I love me some Jiffy cornbread. Now, they make homemade cornbread, but to me, that's too many steps. I can just whip up, just put an egg and milk and a little sugar, and then my aunt taught me how to put a little oil. You put the oil, put your pan in the oven, let it get hot, and then you pour a little of that oil in there, and then you pour it in the pan. Amen. Love me some Jiffy cornbread, but it's convenient. And so sometimes we do our relationship with the Lord. We do things that are more convenient. Lord, it's more convenient for me to slide you in that prayer time, not really schedule it. And so it makes it inconvenient if I have to sit down for more than an hour and really study. So it's easy if I could just put a couple scriptures on the wall, read the scriptures, say I read a couple scriptures. I'm off to the races and I'm doing my day because I read a couple scriptures on the wall. No, we have to be more focused on our time with things of God. Remember, we talked about in the past maturing in the things of God, and we cannot keep doing things that are just convenient when it comes to the things of God. Oh, it's convenient for me to just listen to a scripture going to work. I mean, listen to the little word going to work instead of really actually logging into my church service on Sunday morning because that's not convenient no more for me to get up. We've been home for the pandemic for a year and getting up on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock to tune in to listen to the service when I could tune in at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock if I want to, or just watch the recording or do somebody else. That's convenient. And so it doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it right. But the key is are we seeking God for our decisions? We're allowing our flesh to make the decisions because they're more convenient. And so when we do that, we are in error because at all times we're supposed to seek the Lord and do the things that he calls us to do. And then not to lean to our own understanding, because when we lean to our own understanding, then we usually make a mess of things. And so when we talk about conviction, conviction is a strong belief or opinion. It is a state or act of being proven or finding one guilty. A state of mind of a person who is sure at what he believes or she believes and says is true. Now, one of the things that I love about definitions, and when I look up words, of course, I do that from a secular sense, but then I also ask for the definition, a biblical definition. And so one of the definitions was for conviction was to convince of error or sinfulness. And then this one I liked. It said the act of convincing a person of error or of compelling the admission of truth, being convinced of error or compelled to admit the truth. many times, saints, we have gotten to a point where it's easier for us to say, you know, I repent and I'll apologize to her later because right now she done pissed me off and she made me mad and I ain't going to talk to her right now. I'm going to do it later. That's convenient because it's convenient for us because we don't want to face our emotions. We don't want to face the consequences. They may not even be consequences. It may be what God has required us to do, but because we are so caught up in our self-fulfillment that we allow our emotions to become king and we allow our decisions to be predicated based on our emotions because it's convenient. But the Lord is saying it's time out for that. We need to step up to the next level and we need to stay on the next level because God is requiring all of us. Because if you see the state of the world, and like I said, I like watching the news because I get to see how many people are actually fighting for Israel and how many signs are being revealed. And many times we get caught up because we don't see them in America, that we don't think that the prophecies that are already outlined in the Word are coming true and being fulfilled. But if you're not paying attention globally, you'll miss it. And you'll miss the opportunity when it's your turn to meet your maker. And we get confused with that, too. All of us are waiting for the sky to open and hear that trumpet, and then we know we're going to be caught up. You can be caught up, as we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, at a massage parlor or in the line at McDonald's or even in the drive-thru of a restaurant. That's when you meet your maker, is when you have to stand before him. So it doesn't have to be because Jesus, not all of us would like to live long enough to witness that, praise God. But your time may be sooner than that. So you got to be ready at all times. And so to be ready in all times, you've got to listen to the convictions of your heart because they come from God. And so I want to make sure that I clear up something because I think sometimes we get confused with conviction and condemnation. Now, I love that there is no condemnation in the things of God. Why? Because Jesus bore that for us. But he does convict us. And so I love the fact that because he convicts us because he loves us and he wants us to be right. And remember the definition that we had for conviction. Conviction is basically it compels us to change from that error or to admit the truth. There are many times that we know, Lord, I'm not treating you as well as I need to be. And so when you think of, and that's why I love visuals, when you think of a relationship, when you're building a relationship with someone, if you don't talk to them often enough, then praise God, there's a lot of stuff that you can wonder. And so praise God, if you don't deal with that, then, you know, some other things can come in because, amen, we're doing so many things out of convenience. If we don't have a real relationship with God, then the enemy just, he throws stuff out because remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't like relationships, especially Christian relationships, because most times somebody's going to pray, somebody's going to read a word, somebody's going to share some goodness of God, and he doesn't need that. So if he can stir up discord, he'll find any way to do that. And so if you're being carnally minded or being fleshly minded or being ruled by your flesh or by your emotions, then praise God, he has every opportunity to plant a seed that's not even there. I love how a girlfriend and I talked today, and she talked about how she made a comment, and the lady took it and ran with it. And it was like, where did this come from? But it came from, most likely, her mind, the enemy allowed her mind to travel on so many instances, and she was keeping them in a suitcase, if you will, and waiting. And it got full, and then it just popped open. And so she was spewing things that weren't really relative to what the situation was. But if we don't handle things with the conviction, because most times, because God loves us, he's going to tell you when things are not right. He's going to tell you immediately when you need to say something. But many times, like I said, because we're carnal-minded or we're not confident in what we would say or how to say it, we allow time to pass convenient to try to take it home and figure out what we're going to do. God is saying he needs for us to move when he tells us to move. Haven't you ever had a moment where you know God told you to take something or to pick up something or to do something, and then you get to the place where you are, and then you discover that you need whatever it was that he told you to pick up or he told you to do, and then you're like, wow. And then you tell yourself, you know, something told me, well, you know that wasn't something. You know that was the Holy Spirit telling you you're going to need this or you're going to need that or you need to say this or you need to do that. And then you're reminded. Now, for me, and I still go through this, I listen to that voice, but then I'm talking. Lord, do I really need to take this umbrella? The sun is out. I don't need no umbrella. Take the umbrella. I'm like, Lord, I'll be home before it rains. I'm just going to be gone for a couple hours. I'm talking as if, and then I get to where I am, and I got to get out, and it's pouring rain. And then it's like, okay, Lord, I repent. Now, the coolest thing is that before I used to have those conversations, and I didn't realize that I needed to repent. So I was telling this to one of my instructors one time, and she said, Lee, did you repent for not being obedient to the Holy Spirit? And I was like, why do I have to repent? And she said, because you was disobedient. I'm like, for real? I thought he was just making a suggestion. And so I realized we do, when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we're not obedient. We're disobedient. We need to repent for that. And so we got to be mindful. When the Holy Spirit is reminding you or telling you or nudging you to do something, it is important for us to do it because, remember, he knows all, he has all, he sees all. So why wouldn't we believe when he tells us take an umbrella? Or why wouldn't we believe him when he tells us don't eat that last bite? Or when he tells us not to go here, go home and eat. Don't spend no money here. We got to be reminded to do the things that he's called to do. But anyway. Lord, but I guess so this go back into being convenient and then the conviction. And so we want to make sure that we understand that God does not condemn, he convicts. And so he holds convictions highly for us because it keeps us from doing things that are out of his will. And that can cause hardship and relationships in the things that we do. Now, one of the things that we talked about before, too, was the gifts of the Holy Spirit and why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. And I love that it says that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And then even when we gave our lives to Christ as an unbeliever, he convicted us and convinced us of our sins and that we needed Jesus for our redemption. And so because of that, we were able to confess our sins, say in faith that we believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and praise God that now our lives have been changed for the better. And so then the Holy Spirit comes to us. And remember, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit were wisdom, understanding, counseling, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and the fear of the Lord. So now there are other gifts, of course, that the Holy Spirit offers, but those are the main ones that we accept when we give our life to Christ so that it helps us have a better understanding of what it is he was requiring us to do. Because a person that doesn't know the Lord, when they pick up the Bible or when they do things that are quote-unquote Christ-like, the Bible even says that they're foolish to them because they don't have an understanding. But once you've given your life to Christ and you have this gift of the Holy Spirit that gives you understanding, that gives you wisdom, that gives you counsel and knowledge, it is important that we use it, and we use it to our benefit. And so because Christ did all that for us, we are free from condemnation. Praise God. And then because of that, we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. And so that's Ephesians 2 and 6. Well, praise God. What we want to make sure that we understand for this lesson, is found in Romans 8. And so I'm going to start again saying that same scripture because I make sure it's important. But Romans 8, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made free from the law of sin and death. That for what law could not do in that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness to fulfill flesh and not for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That is the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because carnal minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That should scare most of us. But praise God. I'll keep reading. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That should scare you too. But anyway, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But love it. But the Spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but life of the flesh, but live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you be through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, wherefore we call Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are his children of God. Okay, now it goes on and on, but I'm going to stop here just for a moment because I want to make sure that all that begat there can be sometimes confusing. But nevertheless, God wants us to operate in the spirit and not after the flesh. Because when we operate in the flesh, then we have to deal with everything that comes with the flesh. And that comes with condemnation. And then it puts us in a place where we're not in agreement with the things of God. So we want to make sure that we do the things of the spirit. Now, the coolest thing that I learned years ago when I really started understanding what I was supposed to do and what I was committed to God as far as my... Somebody called it employment. I said, oh, amen, I loved it. My employment in the spirit realm is one of the things was, which I didn't quite understand at the time, but it was Luke 9:23. It said, and then he said to them all, that any man would come after me, he must deny his flesh, take up his cross, and follow me. And so I thought, well, what does that mean, deny my flesh? I got that part, and whatever my flesh desires, deny that, but take up the cross. I'm like, Lord, that was a lot. I don't know I could do that. Take up the cross and then follow me. And so at the time when I learned this, we had this van, and it got stolen. And so just before we were able to claim it so that we could get a brand new car, they found it. And so because we had gap insurance, and so we thought when they gave us the money for the car because it was stolen, we told them, oh, just send it to the people, and then the gap insurance will cover it, and praise God, we'll be free, and we can get a new vehicle. Well, somehow something got mixed up, and so the money, of course, that they gave us for the car went to the people that we owed the money to. But the gap insurance said because they found the car, they didn't have to pay the gap. So then that left like about $1,200 or so left over that we had to pay, and then we had this car that we can't get fixed now because we already got paid for it. So it's like, what do we do? So it ran, but it was horrible. They just really kind of just trashed it. And so, of course, that was our only vehicle at the time, and I was like, I can't ride in that. Mm-mm. And so my husband, being as crafty as he was, he went to this junk place, whatever, and he found a hood. Of course, it was white, and the car was maroon, and then he found all these things. The windows didn't work. One windshield wiper worked. I mean, it was a mess. It was a complete mess. And so, nevertheless, if I didn't want to walk, I had to ride it. And so I was like, oh. And so the Holy Spirit convinced me, that's taking up your cross, babe, girl, because at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do until you can do what you can do. And so I was like, oh, Lord, so this is taking up the cross and not complaining and not, you know, going off. Now, a couple of times I did, you know, I remember we was going on a trip and I was complaining, we riding in this old funky car, we can't get in the room. And the hood flipped up and it cracked the windshield. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll be quiet. Amen. You said not to murmur and complain. That was the last time I murmured and complained. I sat in that car quietly and I understood. I denied my flesh, I took up my cross, and I followed him till we got another one. Amen. And he blessed us with a free car, praise God, while I was doing all that complaining. But praise God. So nevertheless, we have to learn how to deny our flesh, take up our cross, and follow him. And so when we do that, praise God, then we become enemy because, of course, he's going to keep reminding you and make you want your flesh to raise up and get angry and say things that you shouldn't say. But praise God, one of the things that I love about the conviction of God, he tells you when you need to be quiet. And so it's a matter of you going to listen and deny your flesh and take up your cross and follow him and be quiet. Or are you going to spill? Now, the coolest thing is that when we get confused, when we go through challenges, like I could have thought that was, you know, this was a punishment, whatever, and dealt with the condemnation of it. But I had to remember that because the Bible says that, you know, there is no condemnation, and condemnation comes from the enemy. He wants to always make us feel like we're always guilty, that we're always sentenced to a punishment, that everything that we do is a problem. Like even in the beginning when I was struggling to do the broadcast, it was like, it's convenient to do a rerun. It's convenient for me to just say I ain't going to do it. But the conviction was, Leah, I will give you what you need. My grace is sufficient. And I did it anyway. And so because I did it anyway, praise God, God bless me. And so the coolest thing is that there are days still that I'm just barely hanging on. But I know that God's going to give me what he needs for this hour, praise God, or however many hours I need before to prepare. And then, praise God, it's almost like the lights go out. As soon as I close with the last song from my granny, it's like, pew. So then I have to regroup and have to go to bed. But praise God. Nevertheless, his grace is sufficient, and so I do what he calls me to do. Now, I can let the devil beat me up and brick me to make me think, oh, this is a punishment from God. You didn't do everything right. He called you to be, you know, in ministry a long time ago, and you resisted, and you just felt comfortable teaching, and that's all you're doing. God called you to more, and you didn't do it, and this is why you know, whatever. He is a fault finder. He points his finger, he blames us, and he wants us to feel guilty about everything. Anything bad happens to us, oh, this is God punishing you. That is the enemy. The good news is that Jesus is our advocate. And because he's our advocate, it's almost like being in a courtroom that, you know, that Jesus is our judge, praise God, because he's going to make sure that we get the right verdict. Amen. But we got these people in the jury, which is his imp, the devil's imp, and then that prosecutor is always going to point out. And it's funny how sometimes when you're going through something, you just don't quite understand how every sin you ever committed, all that just comes before your eyes. How'd it happen? Because the enemy is trying to make you focus on the condemnation, and God is reminding you of the conviction. Now, sometimes the conviction don't feel good. And so I know that sometimes when I've done something wrong and I'm trying to be convenient and not do the right thing, that it does something to my spirit. I don't feel comfortable. I can't sleep. I can't lay down right. Okay, Lord, you can turn it off. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be right. I'm going to do right. That's not condemnation. That's conviction, because it's like, well, you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you should have done. And because you didn't do it, repent, and God will give you an opportunity to fix it. And so in those moments, that's why it's so good to know that we have the grace of God, that we can repent. And because we can repent, praise God, it says that, you know, the Spirit raised up, so that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and he quickens me. Amen. Then that means that I don't have to be condemned. Yes, the conviction is necessary, but praise God, I don't have to pay nobody. I don't have to do anything special. I just repent, and God will work it out. But I got to make sure that my mind and my heart is lined up in the things of God, and then to be able to understand that the spirit man is more in control, not my flesh. And I got to make sure that I do what is necessary to help my flesh get in check. And so if we don't check our flesh, then we will be found guilty, because the enemy, we open that door. And so the coolest thing about God is that through faith, we confess, we repent, and then we whenever he tells us to ask forgiveness for others, we can do that, and praise God, it's over. Because of the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that was made, he paid all of that on Calvary for us. And so I love that it says that carry on Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this you will find a way to be fulfilled in the law of Christ. When we help others in times of needs, which never comes at a time of convenience, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. When you obey the law, you are reflecting the character of God that glorifies him. When we're caught up in our flesh, we think about ourselves, we don't think about others. And so when we think about others, then praise God, it helps carry the burdens of others. And so then we can be able to show the love of Christ. And I love that the scripture even says we are reflecting the character of God. This weekend, my daughter had a major volleyball tournament, and I thought, Lord, I really want to go. And they really got to be there. So what do I do? You know, I'm not really walking far, you know, without being out of breath. And so, what do I do? You know, you got to give me strength if I let them out and I go park. And so praise God, I found a place to park. I put them out, and I was like, oh, Lord, I still got to walk a couple blocks. How am I going to do this? So, of course, I had my walker, and so I'm walking, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can make this. Should I go back to the car? I don't know if I can do this. And then this man walks up to me, and he says, ma'am, I really haven't eaten all day. He said, I'm really hungry. He said, can you help me? And I've seen him coming, because so many other people were walking away from him. A couple of people were teasing him a little far ahead there where I was. So when I got to him, I had some snacks that I had, because I got a little pouch in my little walker. And so he said, "Ma'am, I really need something to eat. Like, you know, anything you could do can help me." And so, of course, my flesh said, "Lord, really? I could barely get from here to there, and you really want me to do ministry?" And so the man, he just kind of sat down on the ground. He's like, "Yeah, I'm really, really hungry." And I said, "Sir, you don't have to do that." I said, "This is all I have." And he said, "Ma'am, I'm so grateful that you did this." And I said, "Sir, if I didn't, you know, if I had cash, I'd give you some cash." I said, "But I don't have cash. All I have is my card, so I can't help you, but I can give you this." So I gave it to him. So now, mind you, I didn't know if I was going to make it to where I was supposed to be going. And so I thought, well, Lord, I gave him all my food, so what am I going to stack on? Because surely I'm not going to be able to walk to go get nothing else. So I thought, every man, nevertheless, if you bless me with him, then praise God, you'll bless somebody who bless me. And so, praise God, I didn't even think about it when I got to the place. I was so grateful that God allowed me to get there. It was secondary that I helped that man. And so part of my flesh was like, why do you do that? But then my spirit, man, was like, praise God. And then I told him, I said, well, make sure you thank the Lord for that because the Lord gave me that. Now I'm sweating and dripping in water, and I'm thinking, here I'm ministering to somebody, and I'm not in the posture. But I was in the posture because I was in the spirit and not in my flesh. And so sometimes we forget that we are supposed to represent the character of God. I could have skipped that man like the rest of the folks did because I had a mission to get to where I need to get to. I didn't have much breath. I was tired and whatever, but praise God, he found a way. So maybe he said that. I don't know if I entertained an angel or not, but I didn't allow my flesh or my emotions to control me in that moment. I allowed the spirit to move in that moment. And so that's what we have to be mindful of, that we don't allow ourselves to get caught up with the things that are more convenient than the things that are the things of God. A couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity and went to the doctor and I got some bad news. And I had $15 or whatever that I had keep in a little tray for emergency money, and I stopped at this light. And so it was convenient for me to keep driving. But I thought, you know what, Lord, I know that you are so good to me and it could be so much different. And so when I got to the man, I gave him the money. He's like, why this is so much? I said, no, God, you know, bless me to give that to you because I had it so I could give it to you. And so he was so grateful. And of course I had the track I could give him to. But it's just the mindset. My mind is always on giving. That I think that the reason why I could be a whole lot worse than what I am, I could have been, you know, my situation could be a whole lot different. But God has blessed me. This whole pandemic and COVID, you know, has been, you know, detrimental to a lot of people. And before we leave tonight, I felt, Lord, I have not prayed on the line for those people that are struggling or people that have lost. So I want to make sure that we do that because it's inconvenient to just go or whatever. But to be convicted to pray for people immediately, not when it's convenient for me, but when people ask you to pray then. Be the character of God, because Jesus wouldn't walk away and say, oh, yeah, I got you later. He would pray then. And so we're supposed to represent the things of Christ, and we should be convicted to do the things that God has called us to do, to be the character, to be the witnesses that God called us to be, not just when it's convenient for us. Oh, I'm going to be late if I stop. No, stop, because God can delay time. God can make those people start later so that when you get there, you hadn't missed nothing. So you've got to make sure that we allow the convictions of God to allow us to do what we need to do when we need to do them, so that we're not doing things always out of convenience. Because when we do things out of convenience, we lose. And so we don't want to take our convictions lightly ever, because we just don't know what they may do. Last week I shared that one of my students had surgery in the hospital. And so, praise God, it was nothing for me because I love praying and I love, you know, sending encouraging messages anyway. But didn't have to, but I did it because I was really concerned. You know, praise God, you're having surgery. I want you to be encouraged. I still to this day don't even know why he's in the hospital. Doesn't really matter, but God knows. And so I prayed for him, and I prayed for him and his mom. And praise God, she sends me back, and she said that she told some of the people at the hospital. So now little do I know, and little maybe does she even know, that it may not have been intended for either one of us. It may have been intended totally for the person that she shared it with. And so sometimes when we do things when it's convenient and not when the conviction of God comes on, we miss our blessings, not even through the people we're talking to, but the people that they may talk to. And that's why I love that God is a generational God. He doesn't move just at the surface of what we see. He's going way deeper that we can't even have the mind conscious enough to even focus. So when the conviction of God comes upon you to do something, do it, We cannot keep moving in convenience because we're not convenient Christians. We move by the convictions of God because God wants us to operate in truth, and he's going to remind us when we're in error so that we can always be in truth. Amen. So one of the things that I did see, and I know that I'm getting close to being out of time, and my daughter that used to have insights on the broadcast, she said, "Mommy, you've been ignoring me." She said, it's time for me to be back on the radio. I'm like, oh, it is. Okay, amen. So praise God. So I'm going to give her a few minutes in a moment. But one of the things that I love when I research the topic that God has for me to talk on is that I find these little things because I love my steps and I love my things for you to take away with. And one of the things, these steps that I found was convenience versus conviction. And so is it convenient that I say that I'm a Christian, or am I convicted to live like Jesus? It's easy to say I'm a Christian, but you have to operate through conviction to be like Jesus. Because, praise God, again, just as we have opportunities to minister, pray for people, help people, serve. I mean, there are so many opportunities for us to help people, and we just don't even take our minds to take the time to think, Lord, how can I bless somebody? How can I help somebody? Because they ain't convenient, because we don't have time for this. But how about saying I'm a Christian because I really want to be like Christ? And so I remember a lady told me years ago, she said, I don't tell people I'm a Christian. I just say, tell people that I'm studying to be like God or to be like Jesus. Because when I say that I'm a Christian, it puts a yoke on me that I don't know that I'm always going to fulfill, and I don't want people to be looking at me through those eyes. And I'm like, whatever, I'm a Christian because I'm acting, I'm going to do what I need to do because I want Christ to be represented. But nevertheless, for many of us, it's easier for us to say I'm a Christian, convenient. Convenience is comfortable and easy, but conviction is risky and difficult because you got to put effort into doing some of the things that God calls us to do. And some of us take the easy way out. You know, instead of helping feed the people that are in need, I'll just send a check in because I don't have time. I can't make time in my schedule for me to go down there and put some sandwiches together or whatever. Amen. Convenience is common, but conviction is rare. Convenience loves what I've always done, but conviction takes the road less traveled regardless of the cost. I love that because that's what I do. I get confused sometimes because I think everybody can do that. And they're like, well, no, not everybody does that. That's just you. But I do it because I want to see the love of God in the people's eyes and the people that I'm blessing. I love that. And then to be able to tell that God blessed me to do that for you. And I remember a girlfriend, my mentor, said once to me, she said, Leah, if people really knew what it takes for you to do what you do, because they don't see that, you know, you may do this and you'll be out for a week because you have to build yourself back up because you exhausted so much energy and so much of your spirit to do whatever is necessary, that they have no clue what you've done, how late you stayed up, how much you pain medicine. They don't have no clue. But anyway, I do it because I know that the love of God is on the other side, and so the blessing is on the other side. But anyway, convenience prays with a family at church, but conviction prays when nobody is looking or prays immediately. Conviction says helping others is important. Conviction says talk is cheap, that instead of saying you want to help somebody, oh, I'd love to do that, you do it. Convenience says I obey my desires. The conviction says, I obey my soul. Convenience is casual, but conviction is powerful. Convenience causes one to please people. Conviction causes people to lead people. I love that. Convenience gives when money is plentiful, and conviction gives when you just have nothing else to give, but you give. Convenience empowers laziness. Conviction fuels self-discipline. And then I throw this in for my daughter that I know is always listening. Convenience is recycling when there's an easy place to drop it. Conviction causes you to separate your things and then take them to the right right recycling centers. At the end of the day, we have to be committed to our convictions. Because when we're not committed to our convictions, then praise God, we fall short. And so my favorite, what I really want, I've been unfortunately dealing with a lot of people that have lost loved ones. And one of the scriptures that is always used or said is the scripture that Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But when you really think about that, can you really say that? You should be able to say that before your funeral or your going or whatever, when you leave. You should be able to say that today. I'm fighting a good fight. I'm going to make sure that I finish the race because I have the faith to do what God has called me to do today. I want them to say that about me, but I don't want them to say that because it just sounds cool. I want them to really, with conviction, say, yep, she fought a good fight, and she finished her race. It is because I fought challenges or tribulations that I went through. I want it because I did what God called me to do. I did the good fight in the assignment that God gave me, and that I finished with perfection because I allowed God to lead me. I was obedient to his voice. I was obedient to the call from every step, from A to Z. It wasn't that I cheated in between, that I followed every direction that he gave me, and that I kept the faith. I didn't get caught up in my flesh or my emotions to make me say or do things that were weary. And if I did, then I was quick to repent. I was quick to ask for forgiveness, not necessarily always to God. That's important. But when the people he leads on your heart to be convicted and to say you're sorry or what, to do that as well. Sometimes it is the hardest thing to ask another person for their forgiveness. And why is that? It's because we haven't trained ourselves to do it. It should be easy. And so because I said I didn't want to argue anymore, I didn't want to fight anymore, I didn't want to be going back, I didn't want to give the devil that much power. Since that seems to be an area that is so difficult, people, I'm like, I'm going to change that, not for me. I can tell I'm sorry in a heartbeat, but you got to tell me, because if I don't know, I send you to amen, I don't know. Many times the Holy Spirit will remind me or share if I'm really asking God to show me my heart, and then I'll be able to repent. I don't want that to be on my head when I go stand before God that my flesh kept me from, that's not going to be my story. Whenever God tells me to repent, I will, because I don't want to hold that. Because isn't it funny, and people say this all the time, but I don't know why we don't believe it, but when we're walking around with the problem, everybody else is living their best life. You the one broken. You the one tore up. You the one that's sad and confused. You know, what am I going to say when I go around these people? How I'm going to feel when I go? They ain't thinking about that. They're going to have a good time. You're the one caught up because of something that you could have fixed weeks, months, years ago. Get that off of you. That is condemnation. That's not God. That's the enemy. When God convicts you to say, I'm sorry, I am sorry. Three words, I am sorry. That's not difficult. Now, the difficult part is you got meaning in your heart. But God can help you with that, but you at least say it. Say it out loud so you hear it. The devil hears it, the other person you're supposed to say it to hear it, and then God can work with you, because it says you've got to make sure that you die to your flesh. It is your flesh that is preventing you from moving forward. So die to your flesh. Take up your cross, because trust somebody that's crazy. Amen. And they may not be crazy, but I just use that facetiously. But saying that sometimes is like, they've done me wrong. I'm not saying sorry, but yes, that's picking up your cross, because Jesus took a worse beating for that. So surely you ain't taking no stripes, you ain't taking no lashes, ain't no crowns being pressed in your forehead, ain't no nails going in your hands and your feet. Are you kidding me? Yes, you can forgive somebody or take up the cross. Actually get on the cross. Just get up there. Amen. I guarantee you it's easier to say I'm sorry and keep it moving. Apologize. Repent. It's not that difficult. The difficult part is making sure that God creates a clean heart in you. And that's why when we pray, Lord, make me to be come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. You have to have a desire. That means you can't do everything in convenience. You got to be obedient to the conviction that God has for you, because he wants you to be honest and he wants you to tell the truth. Amen. Now I know that I can keep going because I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And I did promise my baby that she could say her little part. So come on, miss. She calls herself Minister Journey. But I tell her that she got to represent Jesus every day, just not on Monday. But amen. So come on, read your part.
God help me to remember that kindness doesn't always feel nice, warm, and cozy. I might not always agree in the moment, but when I really think about it, you are always kind when you discipline me. Obviously, consequences and punishments for bad behavior are not fun. They might even feel totally awful at first, but they teach me respect and responsibility. Help me to accept that kindness of discipline with a good attitude.
What did you say? Say that last part.
With a good attitude. Sorry.
No, say that whole sentence. Help me what?
Help me to accept the kindness of discipline with a good attitude.
Amen. With a good attitude. Sometimes it hurts to be convicted by the things of God. But if you have a good attitude about it, praise God, God will move and will give you whatever you need to make you feel better. And so it is good for us to have in every stage of our lives that we are doing the things of God. And so I read this poem years ago, and I thought, oh, wow, this is so cool. And I remembered it was called The Dash. And so the year you were born and the year you leave this earth, there's always put a dash in between. And the dash, to me, is more important than the beginning and the end. Because it's what you did in between that time that's going to be remembered by many and that will be carried on. That will be your legacy. So if you don't have it right today, you have a chance to get it right. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many things that you've done in our lives in the past, the things that you're currently doing, and the things that you will do in our future. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you convict our hearts when we're doing things in error, because we want to do the things that are according to your plan and your purpose. Help us, Father, to deny our flesh, to take up our cross, and to follow you daily, not just when it's convenient or not when things feel good, but always. We thank you, Father, for blessing all the families around the world that have lost loved ones, not just to the pandemic, but to anything, Father. We ask that you give them strength, that you give them comfort. You said in your words that you can give us peace that surpasses our understanding. So allow them, Father, to be built up in you. I know the Bible says that to be absent or to be present with you. But, Father, that can always feel good to hear that when you're going through. So give them the encouragement that they need. Give them the support and the strength that they need to carry on. I thank you, Father, that you gave us life and you gave us an abundant life. Don't allow us to be condemned by the enemy and believe the tricks and the scams that he places in our heads to remind us of the past. I thank you, Father, that we give our lives to you. We are new creatures, and we don't have to think about those things in the past because they're in the past. And so, Father, we're asking for you to continue to give us a brighter future. Show us how to listen to the convictions and be obedient to them. And when they're not, we can immediately ask for forgiveness and repent and do the things that you've called us to do. If we don't know what our assignments and our gifts are, Father, I thank you that your word says that if we remain in you and our words remain, if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted. So, Father, those that don't know their gifts and talents, let them know so that they can be about getting whatever they need, training, skills, reading, whatever they need to do, so they can be about your business and be what you've called us all to be. And that is for us to be good soldiers, so that we can say that we fought a good fight and that we finished the race and that we remain faithful in everything that you called us to do. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. I pray, Father, that someone on this line has been encouraged, that they have learned something, may not have been a new topic, but that they've been educated in a way to make them study to be for the better, and that they won't be greedy to keep it to themselves, Father, but they'll be empowered to share it with someone else. Because again, Father, we are good soldiers and we share your word because that is our commandment, and our commitment to you is to share, to go out and to seek the lost so that they can be found by you. We love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, again, this is Leah Kelly, Empowered to Change, Blog Talk Radio, where I encourage to my best of my ability, but of course, through the power of God, educate and empower all to the glory of God. Please make sure that you tune in again next week. I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise, because it really, truly does. And so I know she's always listening, and so praise God. For those of you that don't know, make sure that you always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray to us today. And then end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week. See you next Monday, same time, where you dialed in or logged in. See you next week. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
It's to our God. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every word of worship
is one accord. Come on, say every praise.